You are now listening to the Motivational Mentors Podcast with your hosts, Luke Burrows.
Touch on morning routines. I think people have to find something that works for them.
And Arsenio Buck.
Hey, Arsenio, let's go party. Hey, party. If someone asked me to party right now, Luke, come on. What the hell's a party? What? A party for what?
All right, guys, welcome back to Motivational Mentors with your hosts, myself and my co-host, Arsenio Buck, out there in Thailand. And today, guys, we have James Hackney joining us in Stoke-on-Trent, so not that far from me, a couple of hours or so. And so, guys, James is a podcaster, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about his journey, his story, and also about habits as well. So, so with that said, let's see if everyone is on the line. Arsenio and James, you both there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm here, loud and clear.
Awesome. So, James, man, it's a pleasure to bring you onto the show today. I came on your podcast, was it a couple of weeks ago, back in July? And we had an awesome conversation there. So I'm convinced we're going to have another awesome conversation here today. So for those who don't know who you are, could you introduce yourself in a little bit more depth? You know, who is James Hackney, basically?
Yeah, of course. Of course. First of all, guys, thank you for having me on today. Absolute pleasure. It's great. We had a great conversation on the podcast a few weeks ago. But yeah, James Hackney, I'm a millennial and I am the owner of the Millennial Motivation Podcast. It's a podcast that I created a couple of months ago that is aimed at millennials to inspire and to motivate them to not settle for the average blueprint of life. Give you kind of an overview of where that kind of podcast came from and a little bit about my journey. I left school at the age of 16 and I went straight into an apprenticeship doing plumbing and gas to 3 years later, just being made redundant at the drop of a hat. So I was like, right, okay, that's fine. Went and got myself a job in sales for three and a half years later to then be made redundant once again. I was like, okay, this job thing isn't really working out for me, this career thing. So flitted around a few jobs, like dead end jobs, just kind of in cold calling and sales, and always felt like I was missing something. And I never felt like I could trust the job because I've been made redundant at the drop of a hat. I was thinking, imagine if I had a family, imagine if I had kids, dependents upon me, mortgage, how am I going to cope? I was struggling to cope with just having kind of no dependents anyway, but I was like, right, I need to change. And then I got myself into recruitment, which I really enjoyed. And once again, kind of a sales element. And I bought a house of a girlfriend at the time, about 2 years ago, I think it was. Yeah, 2 years ago. And it's a fun, I'll look back now and laugh, but we moved in and then 2 weeks later I had to kick her out as a 2 weeks damn. Later we didn't even make the first mortgage payment, and she was basically in love with another guy, and I caught them. I was like shit, getting too well. So I was like, right. I was like, I can't have this anyway. So I was like, right, I need to get rid of it. So I got rid of it. And then I put the house up for sale. crazy story. Like, no, I laugh now. But yeah, so I was like, right, I'm going to sell the house. And I went to a bit of depression. I was a little bit, you know, like I was feeling a bit sorry for myself, like the victim. And I was beating myself up about it. And just really, I wouldn't say I was suffering from depression, but I was depressed. I got anxiety. And then come up to that Christmas, so that was in September. And that Christmas, my nan was perfectly healthy and well. And then 12 days before Christmas, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She's out of the blue. And on Christmas Eve, we watched her die in her bed on Christmas Eve. So that was pretty hard, seeing how the family was. And then a couple months later, my auntie died from cancer. But I always felt like I was the guy who, like, I was strong. Because my dad had suffered from a brain hemorrhage when I was younger. And they split up, and it was like quite an aggressive and argumentative breakup. And my dad's like never been right since. Like, he suffers from a lot of mental illness. And I was like, I can deal with this. I don't like, when I was younger, I dealt with stuff like this. I'm fine. So I was like, I saw then my job, which was the start of 2018, was to be the joker, be the laugh, make people laugh, be this positive energy that people could see. And just be a happiness and look to help other people. When I'd be out and about, I'd be this like bright spark, and then I'd come home and I'd be in this house on my own. The walls weren't painted, it was like bright white walls. And I'd just sit there. The next thing is like all these emotions like negativity, depression, and I was just like numb. And I used to sit just watching TV, and then it got to a stage where I had to shut myself off from work. I didn't leave the house. I turned my phone off, and I just sat, 20 hours a day on the sofa watching TV, sleeping, wasn't eating, and I was just like a complete and utter wreck. And I was like I'm done. I was like, I'm fed up of this. So I read a book. I was like, I need to change, but I wanted to change, but I physically hadn't got the mental. I just couldn't see it. And I'd read a couple of self-help books before, and I started reading. I think I got bored of Netflix because I was watching Netflix every single day. He's like, Netflix is my best friend. But I was in this like pit of emotions, and I read this book. It's called, you've probably heard of it, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Of course.
Absolutely. And there's a bit in there, and it talks about your eulogy. So I was like, how do I want to be remembered? So I started writing down, and I was like, shit. I was like, none of that is me. I was like, I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be a world traveler. I wanted to help people be seen as someone who's dead positive and just someone who wants to be around. But then I was like, that's not actually me. Then I was like, all right. And that sparked the journey. And there's some massive key points that I notified when I'll touch on later on the podcast that were literally keeping me where I was. And then I just started, I had no confidence, no self-belief to then 6-7 months later, traveling the world solo. I did it for six, seven months. And I came back and I was like, right. I was like, I came back and to see people who I'd left behind, like friends, family, and how they hadn't changed and how I could have had the same conversation with them 10 months ago. I was like, right, I need to do something about this. And then the podcast was born to help inspire other millennials and just people in general to believe, to realize that it's easy to change the small, it's taking the small steps forward each and every day to build momentum, to build a lifestyle. And that's what I want to do, to help people to realize there's more than life than just working, than having drinking in the same pubs, which is a big thing in England, and just how they can better themselves and build a more positive mindset and be the better version than they were yesterday. That's a long version.
Wow. Yeah. God, there's so much. I mean, there's so many things that we could touch up on. But again, I think the critical moment was you just being aware and saying, you know what? You ended up coming across one of the best books ever, right? 7 yeah, Habits.
Completely agree.
And then the eulogy, right?
Yeah.
The eulogy is something powerful because if you ask yourself, you say, you know what? And I heard this in Lisa Nichols' Abundance Now book in terms of writing your eulogy and what do you want to be remembered as when it's all said and done? And then at that blink of a moment, like right there, you said, you know what? None of this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Travel the world. You came back. And then you realize all these other people were still doing the same thing. That's exactly what happened to me after I finished living in Australia. Went back home and I said, my goodness, what is this decision? What the hell did I just do? My family is an absolute train wreck. You know what I mean? It's just a negative ball of energy that surrounds these people. So, I mean, I told myself a year from then or 11 months from then, when I leave this time, I'll never come back. 6.5 years later, here I am. And it's nothing against them or anything, but I know that misery loves company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love it because then you started the podcast for millennials. And again, did you start it specifically for millennials because of what you were going through throughout those pinnacle moments and, you know, in your life, or what is it? What made you decide the specific age, the genre?
The genre is based upon, first of all, I thought I've got to start a podcast and relate to people that I know about. Like, I'm a millennial. I don't know about 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. It's like, I am kind of, we are the next generation. And I'm like, and I see these people on a daily basis and it, like you said about your family members, and like I see my granddad, I see my relatives, and they always tell you, go for your dreams, do what you want to do, life's too short. And I'm like, and then like these people are speaking to us not because they have out of regret, they're speaking to us out of pain because they never did that. And it's so easy for this to get passed along generation after generation and no one actually takes action. And I'm like, do you know what, I'm actually going to take action on this. I'm actually going to listen to what these people are saying and telling me, because they're speaking from experience, speaking from regret, speaking from a point of pain. And I'm pretty sure if they were in my situation now, they would listen to their own advice. So why would I not listen to that advice? And it's want to translate that into other millennials, because we have, time is never certain. We are not certain to live next tomorrow, next week, next year. But we have, in effect, all we have all the rest of our lives ahead of us. I know it's a cliche to say, but we do. So I want to inspire people to then, like millennials, to think, do you know what? I don't have to settle for this. I can do what I can do what I want to do. And that's where it started.
Like I said, you said so many questions, I'm just like writing them all down. So hopefully we can get through them. But no, so I'm curious on, so you read the book. I'm curious on the next steps that you took after reading the book. Like how did you, or how were you able to save up the money to go travel the world? You know, what were some of the actionable steps you then took after you read that book and was like, shit, you know, I'm not this person that, you know, I want to become. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, of course. So I'd wrote out everything that I wanted to be remembered as, which was, as I've already mentioned, like a happy person, which is very broad, but happiness in my sense, a world traveler. I wanted to have new experiences. I don't want to be money orientated, motivated, but I wanted to have enough money that I could do the things I wanted in life. And there was a big long list. I'm like, right, like this is where I am at the moment. I'm at point A, which is I'm depressed. I'm angry at the world. I am not living by a purpose. I'm spending my days sitting in a house, welling, surrounded by all these negative emotions. But I need to get to here. This is where I need to be. So I kind of reviewed what I was doing on a daily basis and how I was feeling. And I realized, as silly as it sounds, what I was doing on a daily basis, how I was living today was effectively how I was living my life. And it was only me that could change that. And I was like, right, okay, so it's more, a lot of this is in my mind. The house was being sold. So I was due to move out in the start of June. And I was moving back in with my mum. I was like, right, the house is going to be done. I'm going to be back in at home, somewhere that I know, somewhere that I'm comfortable with, and without these white wolves looking in at me 24/7. And I was like, okay. And one thing I picked up on that was really, really holding me back was my ex-partner. But she suffered from like mental illness in terms of depression and things like that. And we used to have a lot of arguments. And I'm never the wittiest of person in these arguments. Like, if you have an argument with me, I cannot come up with a witty comment or anything like that. But I was playing in my mind scenarios that had happened previously. So I was playing through times when I felt that I was doing the right thing, the best of interest. I was kind of reliving arguments, reliving different moments. And I was then playing these through my head, and I was saying these witty comments then in my head, or, oh, I should have said this, so I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. And then relaying an outcome, which is like, I'm getting revenge. I am getting one up on you. When in reality, that was 6-7 months ago, and I'm reliving this back now. And then that was causing me to spiral further and further down into depression and to perform this angry 24-year-old. So that's one huge thing. It's like, right, I was like, I know it's not easy to do, but what I need to do now is to recognize when I am reliving these moments in my head, when I'm reliving these moments and I'm getting up on this person out of revenge. So I could find myself kind of slipping into it. So I'd catch myself. And that was a big thing. That was one of the huge next steps. I started that. I started running. I started getting out of the house because I saw the house is a big problem. I started reading. This is a bit drastic, but I snapped the TV remote in half because I thought, if I can't use the TV remote, then I can't watch TV much because I can't be bothered to get up off the sofa and change the channel. So I snapped the TV remote in half, which I wouldn't advise. I'd probably just recommend just probably hiding it somewhere. I started learning. I started thinking, right, I can't be the only person in this situation. And I accepted that this is where I am currently, but this is where I want to be. And as I said, the key points were stopping myself spiraling down into negative emotions, thinking more positively, filling my mind full of positive emotions, positive thoughts, and living the person that I wanted to live, even if I didn't feel like it. If I wanted to go and go for a run, and I didn't feel like I wanted to go for a run, but I said that I wanted to, if I said in this eulogy that I wanted to be someone who was fit, who did marathons, then I would drag myself, even if I don't want to give an example, I would drag myself to a run. Even if it was a kilometer, I'm still running. And it was just such small steps on a daily basis that created such momentum.
Also, I think Arsenio, can you relate to, you know, the marathons and everything there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just hearing what, you know, just breaking that habit and reaffirming that addiction to suffering, you know, and that's one of my favorite phrases that I heard from Dr. Joe Dispenza, because I related to that almost instantaneously. Like when I heard you say that, I said to myself, I said, well, that was me. You know, every time one of the littlest things would happen, I would always go back to that mindset and continue blaming and reinforcing that anger over and over and over. So, you know, it was a stream of about 3 months at the end of 2015 where I said, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And it all kicked off with, of course, Tough Mudder, you know, the Tough Mudder that I ended up doing for the first time out there in good old Melbourne, Australia. And you know what? It was just me versus me on that course. And you know, when I was going through all that pain, I wanted to give up. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I just kept telling myself, like, if I give up now, everyone who has ever said all those things about me, they win. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, my subconscious is going to win over and over and over. So for me to be able to get over that hump, I needed to push through that. And just as I did when I started sucking down on a bunch of personal development stuff and just feeding my mind with as much brain food as I could. So, yeah, I mean, oh man, what do you think, like, in terms of what you've been through and the people that you were around, right? Let's say your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Were they somewhat on the same track?
Yeah, they couldn't be a further off the track. So the friends I used to hang around, and I had a pretty, I'd like to say, yeah, I had a pretty wild 18 to, oh, I had a pretty wild 4 or 5 years. Lots of lads' holidays, which are huge in England. I was going all over the world, getting drunk, into other stuff, and just living kind of a crazy lifestyle. Every weekend I was in the pub, and just spending my weekends hungover. And I was like, that was a big thing. And I was like, and then when I was trying to tell my these friends how I was feeling, I wasn't telling them, but I was subtly trying to hint. I just wanted somebody to ask me, how are you? And I, like, as a general conversation, then I would have just opened up and I'm pretty sure I would have broke down crying. But, and I was like, these people don't actually care about me. I was like, I'm trying to impress these people. I'm trying to be part of this friendship group. But these people are holding me back. Like, if I need to change, I need to change the people that I hang around with. So, yeah, and these people now, these people are still doing the exact same thing week in, week out, weekend. And
expecting a different outcome.
And exactly, and they will they'll spend the weekends complaining, moaning about the situation, but they'll never do anything to change about it.
Exactly. It's just crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. And so, well, kind of two questions. I kind of want to relate all of this into, or how you think all of this in your story relates into habits and how people can start to create and implement into their lives better habits. Because obviously for all of us, you know, like when you were explaining everything, you know, to me it was just obvious, kind of, you know, okay, so that's a disempowering habit, you know, and then that happens and that triggers that habit, and you know, it just, like, you know, one habit triggers another. But for our listeners that maybe are just coming across our podcast for the first time, or just personal growth in general for, you know, for the first time, and they like habits, you know, like, what is this? What's some empowering habits? Could you relate kind of your story into habits and how you've been able to implement more empowering habits?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that you don't have to have a story to change.
Of course.
Like people think that, and they're like, oh, we underplay the things we've been through in our life, and we undervalue that the experiences, and people think, oh, I've got to have some kind of dramatic story to then want to change. But you could just be, and you could be happy in a sense at the moment in time, but you're still missing a sense of self-purpose and self-fulfillment. And in regards to kind of approaching in terms of changing your habits, it's something that is to create a why. Why are you looking at changing? And for me, it was because I didn't want to live a life of regret. I didn't want to be the person that I was living today. Not in a negative sense, but I knew that when I'm facing these tough times, when I'm facing the difficulties, I created a why, which I can say, right, this is the reason why I am sticking with this. I am implementing this new habit. And that carried me through the difficult times. What I say to your listeners is, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh yeah, changing your habits is something, and implement and bringing in these success habits, but these better habits, is you've got to replace the poor habits with something else. So like, if I was watching TV for 3 hours per night. If your listeners are spending their evenings watching TV for 3 hours a night, it's great for to think, right, I'm just not going to watch TV. But then it's like, oh, what am I going to do with that 3 hours of watching TV? And people can then go, oh, I'll spend it on YouTube, or I'll go on my phone, or they'll find something that doesn't mean anything to them. when we need to have a plan of action to that. I'm not going to do 3 hours tonight. I'm not going to watch TV for 3 hours tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do half an hour reading instead. I'm then going to learn half an hour on YouTube. And then, and it's about replacing these habits with habits that are going to better you as a person, your mindset, your self, and your knowledge. But then when times get difficult, because it's great to have a new habit for 3 to 4 days. It's like, oh, it's something new. It's different. It's like, oh my God. But then, like, because you're like a new boss, you're like, oh, you think you're making some great grounds, but then it comes to a bit of a standstill and you're like, oh, well, I haven't seen a huge improvement. And you suddenly start falling back into the old habits. And it's to realize that it's a step-by-step process. And when you face difficulty in these new habits, it could be a simple habit. It's to fall back on the reason why you are doing these habits. That's the main reason.
The why is, yeah, the why is the most important. You know what I mean? When I wake up in the morning, I was talking to one of my students who's a marketing, you know, student and whatnot. And I said, you got to wake up and just love waking up. I remember when I was putting everything in my bag this morning, I had the biggest smile on my face. Even though I knew it was going to be a hellish long day.
You always have a smile on your face. This. Right?
I always got a smile on, even when I'm angry. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to knock somebody's ass out tonight. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm going to cuss somebody out. But there's got to be a burning desire there. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if I told myself I'm going to stop making this podcast because I don't believe these amount of people, I deserve more listeners or this or that. It's not about any of that. It's about who you're inspiring at this given moment with your voice. And so a lot of people need to understand that once they start pumping out content and whatnot, you know, habitually, they can't stop. It's kind of like what Eric Thomas said. He said, man, you're already $9,800 or hours into it. All you need is 10,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some people just stop right there on the brink and that's it. Because you know what, their why, it could be because their why wasn't strong enough or it could be because of other things. So when it comes to routines and whatnot, is there a specific routine that you follow in the morning? I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, so I have a very specific routine. And what I'll say before this isn't a routine. I know I had this conversation with Luke on my podcast, is this isn't a routine that I have stuck with. It has changed. I've implemented new stuff. I've taken things out. It's grown. I haven't just been living this routine. It's about practice and failure. Just talk you through an average routine of Monday to Friday. So I wake up at 6 a.m. and I go through, before I even open my eyes, I tell myself that I am the king. I am the guy that I am going to do something amazing today. Today is an incredible day because I've woke up on the right side of the ground. I'm already steps ahead of people because before I open my eyes, my mindset and the foundations for my day are on the right level, the level that I want them to be. I wake up and I go for a run every morning, like a minute, like a 5K run. And I put my clothes in the corner and I'm like, right. It's like, I don't go up. So yeah, for the first hour as well, I don't go on my phone. So I turn my alarm off, leave my phone there. I go to my clothes, put my clothes on. I don't even think about anything, put them on. And next thing you know, I'm out the door and I'm running. And then I slowly start to wake up. I'm like, oh, like the first.
I'm running now.
Yeah, I'm running now. My legs are moving. My head's still in bed. And I'm like, okay. I was like, right, that's fine. I was like, and then the first 2 minutes, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, oh, God, why am I doing this? I was like, what a terrible idea. But then after, I'm like, okay, I know why I'm doing this. I'm falling back on my why because me running in the mornings sets me up because it wakens my mind, it gets my body moving. I feel awake, even if it's like a 2K run or a 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile run. I am out moving, doing what other people aren't doing. So straight away, I'm a step ahead of people. And I get back in, I feel great, shower, meditate for 10 minutes. And then that's when I start my day, as silly as that sounds. That is then, right, you've done this routine. That's when you start your day. So then better time on the podcast, check a few emails. And then after an hour, I then allow myself to check my social media. So I'll go on Instagram, I go on Facebook, I have a little browse, but I make sure I'm doing it with a purpose and I track how long I'm spending on there. So I'm not sat there for, it's so easy to do, 10, 15 minutes. And I check and this is another thing that I did previously, but I unfollowed virtually everybody on Facebook.
Okay, why?
So I found that I was looking at stuff that I didn't give a shit about.
Yeah!
And then I was like, I remember one day, I was like, 10 minutes in, and then I turned my phone off. I was like, what have I actually just looked at? I was like, I cannot remember one piece of information. So I was like, right, it's full of people, other people's crap, other people's problems. And if the first thing in the morning, if you are looking at other people's problems, other people's issues, then your mind's going to be focused on them, when literally the only person's problems or issues that matter are your own. I just unfollowed everybody. Deleted the app off my Facebook, so I have to go on the internet browser now for it.
Same.
But yeah, because I got a little bit sidetracked there. But yeah, so now it takes me, 2 minutes I'm on Facebook for, because I've got no one on there. And then if the people that are important, the people that are important to me, I end up searching for anyway. But like, I didn't think of all these random people. And then Instagram, I've completely reduced. I'm on like 20 followers now. I follow 20 people.
You can just hide. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to, like, and they don't know. Like, they don't really care. And then I fast, so I don't eat until 12 p.m. So yeah, it's morning routine. So I do, I'll recap on that because that's got a bit confusing there. So I wake up, positive, fill my mind full of positive thoughts. Yeah, that's the one, that's the word I was looking for. I run, do some form of exercise, and that could be half a mile, a mile. I'm out of the house, and I meditate, and then check a bit of social media. I check my goals for the day. I check on like OneNote just to make sure what have I got planned, and then my day starts and I head off to work. That's it. It's a simple morning routine. It just keeps me on track.
Yeah. Oh my god. You know what's funny? I think that's an actionable item that a lot of people can take away right now. I don't get on my Facebook feed often. You know what? The only funny thing that I'm really interested with on the Facebook feed is, of course, this mass transit system that's going up out here in Bangkok, because it's going to make everyone's life easier, including mine, to get around from place to place. You know what I mean? So, and maybe I'm just maybe I just love engineering stuff for whatever reason that is too. But, you know, to go on there and say, okay, all right, here we go. And then a little bit of Eric Thomas to fire me up. But honestly, I really don't care about a goddamn thing. I hide the stories on Instagram. I hide the posts. Honestly, man, I scroll down. I use my finger, two swipes, and it says, you have covered everything the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, I don't miss a damn thing. No. Now, I'm following a lot of people, but they don't know that I did.
Exactly. You don't have to. These people don't know you're doing this. And like you said, like, it's okay to use social media if you're interested. Like you said, you're interested in engineering. It's fine to use it for that. It's fine because it's a genuine interest. But have you really got an interest in someone's dog that you've never met?
Or you know, the husband and the wife, of course, this is what I would always see like 8 years
ago. Who are happily married, by the way.
Happily married. You know how the tale of social media, we know how that is. Right after they take the picture, the other one's swinging at the other one's face. I know the stories.
He's moaning because he's on the phone too much. Because he's posting that picture, and she's like, "Get off your phone, you mate." And you're like, "Yeah, you just can't win."
Absolutely. And so, like with you, James, with like Facebook, because I deleted it off the app off my phone, it's actually quite annoying having to go onto the browser of Facebook, because I just can't be bothered, you know. So that's why now people who like message me, like before I used to reply quite quickly, but now it's like a week, because I just can't be bothered to go on, you know, to log onto the computer.
That's what happened to me with Luke. Yeah. I was like, what's up, Luke? Hey, man, where are you, dude? Yeah, what's going on? He's like, hey, I'm not on Messenger. Hey, I'm on WhatsApp. And I'm like, okay, all right.
I sent you a message the other day because it was something important I had to say to us anyhow. And I was like, shit, I can't be bothered to open up the laptop, my phone. I can message him through Instagram, but I know Arsenio doesn't check his Instagram messages too often.
I know.
I know that.
So the only other option was a WhatsApp. I think for me, the only apps now I have, social media apps, are WhatsApp and Instagram, and that's helped me, you know, because now I'm not scrolling through Twitter or Facebook, and I got to log on, and I just can't be bothered. One thing I did also want to touch on was the like relationships, so friendships, you know, past relationships as well. And have you like made peace with like some people, if that makes sense? So like you were saying with your ex-partner, like, is everything okay there now? Or because like some people, you know, they may leave a relationship or leave a friendship and it's they've left it in a toxic like environment type of thing. So that can then hold them back from then pursuing their own goals and dreams because they're still thinking about kind of that situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you experience that, or if, you know, just like get out of my house kind of and just like never thought about them again type of thing, you know?
Yeah, so touching back on kind of the relationship, I kicked her out and unfortunately she still had a key. So she was proper messing. Like, she went off this guy and then a few weeks later she kept coming back in the house at like 2 a.m. and getting in bed and cuddling me and stuff. And all the, like, she's just coming to the house at random. And then it's another funny story. I'll touch on this very quickly. So what happened was is she refused to pay the mortgage. So her half the mortgage, it was fully my deposit as well on the house. And we had like 2-3 months left to pay the mortgage till we're moving out. We told her to sold the house and she won't pay the mortgage her half. And I was like, you need to pay the mortgage. So she had a new boyfriend then who wasn't this guy that I caught her with. And
another one.
Yeah, another one. So I was like, right. I said, if I'm going to pay half, she says, I'm going to move back in. All right, then, you move back in. Nothing happened. She paid the mortgage. But then the month later, she's like, well, if I'm paying this mortgage, I'm moving back in. I was like, all right, I'll call you bluff. Move back in. She moved back in with her boyfriend. So it turned out that she was having a spare room on a mattress with her current boyfriend. And I, at this point, like, as soon as the relationship, like, it ended the relationship, I wasn't like, I knew that I wasn't in love with it. I knew that I put up a lot of shit in that relationship, but I didn't love her. I didn't have feelings for her. I still cared. Like, I'm not going to hate, like, I hope something bad happens to her, but I was more angry. I was more like bitter and I was more just hatred in regards to what she'd done to me. So, and I'd started meditating at this point. So I was kind of getting to grips and accepting them. So now I was feeling, and she moved in with this lad and she refused to pay any bills. And I've gone off topic here, so sorry.
No worries.
Like, I'm not going to pay the electric, the gas, anything. I'm not going to pay anything. It's like the food, nothing. We're just going to move in.
Cut everything off.
She wasn't going to, she wasn't going to use the Wi-Fi. She wasn't going to use, she was going to use the Wi-Fi, but not pay for it. Just give me the mortgage. I was like, all right, you want to play that? I'll play that. So what I used to do is before I went to work, I used to take the TV remote, the plug to the TV. I used to take like the iron. I used to take like, I didn't have food in the fridge that would go off. So I just turn the fridges off. I take the Wi-Fi with me. I turn the water off in the house. I used to be a plumber, so I just turned the water off and like sorted it. And I look back at it now, it's a bit petty, but I was like, in a minute, I was like, you're not paying for this shit. I was like, if you want to use it, you're paying me for it. But she, so that lasted a week, and then I was like, do you know what? I was like, I didn't need this in my life. I was like, I didn't need this in my life anymore. So I was like, I can afford the mortgage on my own. I was like, just get out, done. So kicked her out for the second time, and. Yeah, and I'm still getting like messages to go through. I was still getting messages like off it because I blocked her on everything. I was like, social media's getting rid of it, but I was still getting messages like emails asking to go out for a drink. And I was like, I just like ignored it completely. House sold. Never spoke to her again. But I know I went off topic there, so I'm sorry about that.
No worries, man. It's all part of it. And so well, I'm curious what your boss thought when you went in with the iron and the TV. And everything. He's like, what's going on?
I look like I was selling it.
Boy,
yeah. I hid him in my car. So I had him in my car in the boot. I was like, right, that's fine. It's just going and sitting in the car. But to kind of relate that, you just mentioned about like my friends. So there's a friends that I used to spend most of my time with and just get drunk with. It was literally, they used to say to me, like I was going through this self-development. You're talking like April, June last year in July. And I just kind of didn't go out with them as a lot. I left a lot of group chats. I put a lot of chats on mute because there's so many group chats. But I kind of just went cold turkey. And they used to say to me, oh, you're changing. And I used to be like, no, I'm not changing. It's like, no, I'm not changing. I'm still me. I'm still James Hackney. It's like, I'm not changing. But then when deep down, I was putting in so much effort to change, so much time. I was learning and self-developing, but I was so scared to admit to my friends that I was changing and that I was learning and I was becoming a better person. I knew I was becoming a better person. I was proud of that, but I wasn't proud to admit to them. Mm. So I was like, right, I was like, if I can't admit to these people that I am changing, if I can't be the person I want to be, if I can't change around these people, then do you know what? I was like, these people, they're not my friend. They can't be my friend. I had a big circle of friends. I used to play football with them. I played football with them on a Sunday. But other than that, I replaced the time that I used to spend with them drinking in the pub for time learning, for time for self-development, for time to building a business. And it was about replacing. I think that's a really key thing for your listeners is don't, if you're looking at leaving, because I know you've probably heard of the saying, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Yeah. If you are spending time with people who aren't dreaming big, aren't thinking big, or complaining, moaning, just settling for life or not where you want to be, if you just go cold turkey and you go, right, I'm not just not going out anymore, you will find yourself, like I did, sitting in the house watching TV. When you've got to go, right, I'm not going to go out, but instead I'm going to make it worthwhile. I'm going to start to read more. I'm going to start to watch YouTube videos on how to do things. I'm going to start to get out there, experience the world and do something different that is going to send me on that direction. Mm. So, and it's about replacing the bad habits and the habits that we want to change with habits that we want to bring into our life.
1000%, man. And so I was exactly the same. And for me, I suppose I adopted the mindset that I would rather like be on my own. Like I'm not alone because, you know, I'm in, you know, like value myself, you know, that yeah. I would rather be on my own than around people that don't value me. Like that was my mindset, you know? And I think when I was kind of not expressing it, but was like on my videos or whatever it was, and I was giving that kind of or sharing my story, but also recommending to other people that were going through that same thing, and I was saying that to them, you know, I think it's a very hard mindset for people to adopt because they need that, you know, that they need that, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for,
social interaction.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of or just to be around people, you know, because, and I think it goes back to the relationship that they have with themselves. And once, you know, you work on that, then, you know, you can do anything really. So, so yeah, but I'll bring Arsenio back in on this.
You know, there were so many times where, just to get a little bit off track, but I just, you know, some people, they're just not aware enough of what's actually around them in terms of the environmental impact of everything. Like we take in so much, right? And we're not even aware that we take in so much. It's kind of like me. I have such a great intuition, right? I could tell if someone's having a bad day. I could tell if someone is very angry at life. I could tell a lot of different things. And, you know, I've been very, very quick to cancel a lot of appointments, you know, with people just because I'm like, you know what? What am I going to get out of this? Like you said, James, you said, okay, your friend's out there, you know, the drinking, getting drunk and do this. And I'm like, what am I going to gain from that? Okay, there's a party. Let me give you an example. Luke just told me right before he asked me the question. He said, Arsenio, you got this huge speaking gig coming up. I said, I do. He said, what is it about? Well, you know what? I'm going to tell everybody right now. I'm actually going to be speaking at a digital content festival. And so this guy invited me. He said, hey, we're going to give you this money. I said, a deal. I mean, I said, you go give me that, goddammit. In an hour and a half, you're giving me what I make in half a month at this other place. You know what I mean? So it's not only that, but it's the connection. So then a week later, he said, Arsenio, guess what? 6 p.m. the night before, I'm going to book you into the Marriott Hotel. I want you to stay there at the hotel because you're going to be speaking in the morning. There's a dinner and there are drinks and there are good. And you know what? That's a place where you can meet everyone. Guess who's going to be there? CEOs, founders, big time people with big time labels, big time, whatever you want to call it. That's the type of thing that I'm yep. going to. Not the bullshit where, yeah, let's go get drunk, get fucked up. No, for what? For what? That doesn't make any sense to me. No, I want to go to the good stuff. I want to be able to shake hands. Hey, Arsenio, you know what, man? You gave an excellent presentation. I met you last night. Here's my card. I would love for you to come out there to Dubai and maybe we could set up a 3-day workshop for my associates out there. Deal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's opportunity. You know, I'm not burning brain cells for no reason. And I'm not going to waste time with these people who aren't feeding my soul. So
you've replaced the people then that were keeping you poor, were keeping you stuck. And like you've then replaced them people with people who are now CEOs. You're still being sociable.
Well, I want to be.
it's so scary to think that, oh, I'm going to get rid of my friends, and then you feel like, oh, I'm going to be alone. But when you start with these new, when you start following different ventures, start putting yourself out there, going down these different paths, you still have that social interaction just with people that you actually want to be social with, and not social just because they're your friends.
Yeah, or just because, you know, you got brought up with them, you know.
Exactly.
So yeah, and I mean, I'll say it just quickly, I'm completely going off topic around habits and that, but screw it. When you're talking about party, it reminded me of that, what episode we done back last
year. You know, and I heard it. It's actually in the pre-roll.
It is.
It's in the pre-roll. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's about, you know, me going crazy and saying, you know, party? You want me to go to a party for what? Like, what am I going to get from this party?
I mean,
what's the base party in a clubbing and everything? Hey, I'm going to go out tonight. I'm like, you going out by yourself? I'm sleeping at 7:30. I'm sleeping at 8:30. Man, there are so many other things. I'm preparing for the next day. I'm preparing for the future. Now, if you believe that shaking your ass, and if you believe that, you know, being out there on the dance floor for one reason, the only reason why people go to these places is for one reason. So you can do that by not wasting all that time anyways, by a real quick phone call. You know what I mean? So again, man, it's just, hey, it's based on decisions. Now, I used to make those foolish ass decisions too, James. Yeah, man, I used to be 21. I would go to the club. I went to the club one time, never went back. It was a waste of goddamn time. My ears were ringing for about 5 hours, even when I woke up. None of that made sense. And you know what? I just want no part of it, because how are any of those people going to help me? Now, when I get to a formal dinner and people are like, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Sudoku Yagashumi, you know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, you know what? It is a pleasure meeting you. You know what? My name's Arsenio. Yeah. You know me, you will. You see what I mean? And then you create that connection and you wow the person and you want them to go home that night saying, damn, that guy Arsenio, that was one interesting ass dude. You see what I mean? So, oh my God. Anyways, yeah, way off topic.
But you're changing your habits. You're changing the people, and you're changing your routine of the people you spend your time with. And it's huge in terms of your environment. And people don't realize, and people think, oh, I can change my mindset. I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. But at the end of the day, if you don't change that environment that you're spending the majority of your time in, guess what? You're going to be the same person no matter how much you want to change. And you're just replacing the people that you used to be friends with for the people that you want to be friends with. And it's not saying that you're not be friends with these people still. You can still drop a birthday card and drop a Christmas card or whatever, but you haven't got to be sat down the pub. I know it's a big culture in England, Luke, and you'll know as well, to go to the pub every weekend, watch football. And I love watching football, don't get me wrong. Football is great. It's all about spending meaningful time with the people that are going to make a difference in your life. And you can still be sociable. It's just finding them right people. And it can seem daunting. It can seem like, where am I going to find these people? I'm just James Hackney. I am just a person who, like, I grew up on a council estate. You're like, these people don't want to speak to me. But once you start talking to people with passion about what your dream is, where you want to go in life, these people are actually genuinely interested in you. They haven't got many egos. You'll get people with egos everywhere. These people are actually interested in you. You're like, oh, shit, they actually are.
Yeah, right. And I think it comes back into social media, what we were talking about before, you know, like, us three have connected from the power of social media. You know, we're on this podcast. Like, James is, you know, I don't know, 3 hours away from me. Arsenio is the other side of the freaking world. You know what I'm saying? So absolutely. And James, one thing I did want to touch on was your podcast. And so how did you just come across podcasting? You know, like, so you read the book, you started taking action, you started seeing some changes. You then wanted to start the podcast because, you know, to share your story and, you know, and everything that you were learning. But why a podcast over maybe YouTube videos? Or like, how did you come across a podcast? And like, even building on that, where you see your podcast going and, you know, just some of the things you're going to be working on in the future, really?
Yeah, well, I've always been an avid listener of podcasts. You know, Joe Rogan, and there's a guy who I listened to for 2 years, a guy called Sam Crowley, who does the Everyday Saturday podcast. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But I really listened to him loads and loads. And I was like, I really enjoy listening to podcasts because you can learn so much in a time when I listen to a lot of music, and I still listen to a lot of music. But podcasts really resonated with me. So it's easy to get a message out. Anybody can do it. Now, when I went traveling, I started vlogging. The typical, you know, I'm a traveler, I'm going to vlog my experiences. And it was just taking a lot of time to edit videos. I was like, I want to be going out and experiencing this instead of witnessing everything through a camera. So that lasted about a month, and then I stopped doing that. And then when I came back, I was like, I want to get this message out there. First of all, the podcast I saw was a way of me keeping in contact with myself when I was traveling, in regards to talking through how I was feeling, my experiences, and how I was seeing the world, but also the experience I had before traveling. So the podcast was like, right, the podcast is, I'm going to put it out there and just see what happens. You know, I didn't expect anything to happen. I had no expectations. It's like, but I want to build it into some form of business. I want it to have a big influence in my life. This isn't a month, 2 month thing. So I opted to podcasting, started podcasting. And then, as you said, once you start getting out there, once you start putting the message out there and speaking to people like yourself, Luke, and essentially and meeting the other people, it kind of grows. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, do you know what? It's like, I sat there thinking, okay, if someone had told me 4 months ago that I'd be on doing interviews with inspirational people all over the world and be asked to interview on other podcasts, I would have laughed at you. I would have been like, oh yeah, sure. But the podcast is just by taking action, it's just allowed me to be here. I wouldn't have been here if I hadn't taken action. So that's the reason why I started the podcast, because it's easy to get out the message. It's easy to edit. It's easy to get out there. It's simple and it's straightforward. Okay, it's a little bit techy at the start. Where I see the podcast, well, I've just started a coaching diploma. So I'm starting a coaching and personal performance. So that is, I'm going to tie that in with the podcast. And the podcast is really there just to provide, I want it to continue to provide motivation, inspiration, and to let millennials know that you don't have to sit and suffer for 5 days per week that you hate doing something that where you don't want to be. And you hear it, I'm sure you've been in jobs, you've heard people sat there moaning, complaining about Monday, Friday, hump day, all these sayings that we say it just to make ourselves feel a little bit better. And there's a great, I know I'm going off topic now about the work and that, and where people are, but I don't know if you ever watched The Minimalists on Netflix.
Heard of it.
It's incredible. And they say something in there that really resonated with me. They said that, and I might not paraphrase this correctly, they said that people go to jobs and then spend money on things that they don't need to give reason to why they're doing something that they hate. So the things that they buy is just because they hate doing what they do, and it's just like, oh, this will make me feel better. The Netflix show touches way more on that, but it's such an amazing show for your listeners and for yourselves to watch. But yeah, a little bit off topic, as I have done throughout this podcast, but anyway, I want to tie in, I'm doing the coaching diploma now. The podcast is a means for me to get the message out there that millennials, you don't have to suffer for the average blueprint of life. You could be 30, you could be 35, you could be 25, you could be 20 if you want to, but I want to help people to realize that how you've lived the past 10 years has no meaning on how you live the next 10 years. Every second now in our lives is a brand new second. You have not lived this moment. So why live it the same in the same way that you hated? And the podcast is going to be around helping millennials who are kind of in jobs that they hate at the moment in time, but to make use of that time before work, the morning routine and the evening routine, so they are taking visible action each and every day towards a future, so that they see that their job is temporary but their dream is permanent.
I love that, and I'm gonna have to quote that, and I awesome. So James, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Do you have any final thoughts or actionable steps that our listeners can take away? Maybe, you know, what you were just explaining is some of that, but any other final thoughts? And where can people listen to the podcast, download it, and in your Instagram as well?
If
you give the listeners all that information, I will link it in the description as well.
Thank you. Perfect. The podcast is on iTunes, Spotify, all the large kind of podcast companies. I can't name them all. I forgot them all. And my Instagram is Millennial Motivation Podcast, and Twitter once again is Millennial Moti 2. Which I'll send over to you, because I don't know why it's like that, but I've tried to change it, but I can't. And yeah, in terms of a final message, it would be just to, where you are now doesn't define where you'll be in 10 years. And a big thing for me is, I think we live in a world right now where we can get instant gratification. And like Instagram, Facebook, and we're always looking for that immediate success. When if you're building something substantial, if you're building your dream, this isn't going to happen 6 months, 12 months down the line. New opportunities will come. But it's all about taking the small, imperfect, not being imperfect, but imperfect steps every single day. And if you stick with that, if you take your habits, build it into a routine, it will become a lifestyle. And once you've got your lifestyle, just to stick with it. Just to stick with it. And no matter what the failure is or adversity, stick with it.
Stick with it. Absolutely. James, absolute pleasure. And guys, if you know anyone who needs to listen to James's message today, then you know what to do. Share this episode of Motivational Mentals with them. Leave us a review. Check out James's podcast. It's an awesome podcast. And yeah, we will be back next Friday for another episode of the show. So we will see you then.
Did you find this episode helpful? If you did, please leave a review and don't forget to subscribe. New episodes of the Motivational Mentors podcast are available every Friday.